our service, it's wrapped up around the idea of the Harvest Thanksgiving Day. My thoughts and what I would like to share with you is a little bit about the general idea of Thanksgiving, and we'll look at the passage together this morning. So let me read a passage, I'll pray, and then we'll go through what we have or what the Holy Spirit prepared for us today. Acts chapter 14, starting with verse 11 and finishing with verse 17. We read, "When the crowd saw Paul, what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, 'The gods have come down to us in human form.' Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes or Jupiter, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, 'Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy.'" That's the passage. Pray with me. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, that we have another opportunity to worship you and be thankful for the gifts that you are giving us. We are gathered here with our hearts filled up with different thoughts or emotions, but we pray that through the Spirit, all those might be replaced with a thankful spirit, with a thankful attitude, and with thankful words. And your word teaches us and encourages us to be thankful. So we are thankful for today, thankful for what we see. Thank you for the lunch that's being prepared for us. Thank you that we have that food every day. As we pray, giving you thanks for the food, we remember, we know there are places that lack these resources, don't have them enough. There are people hungry today. Shamefully, there are people who die of hunger today. Even though you are giving with an open hand and plentiful, yet us, in different ways, affected by greed, driven by greed, hoard on those things, and others don't have them. Hence, as your people, as the people of the kingdom, your kingdom, we pray, bring that kingdom, we pray, when things will be all right for all your children, and evil will be no more, and lack will be no more, joy will be there. Today we also thank you for the offering that has been presented. That one too comes from the resources you are giving us, and we thankfully present them before you. We thank you for your word that is for us. Help us to have a look at it, to consider it. Help us to be worked by the Holy Spirit that inspired it, and so we might grow in our thankfulness, being witnesses in this world of your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as I said at the beginning, I'll present with some general statements about Thanksgiving and about being thankful, and then we'll look actually at our passage a little bit later on to see what happens there and what's in it for us as we celebrate this Harvest Thanksgiving service. Firstly, as Christians, we are encouraged to be thankful. There are several, I believe, expressions of this kind in the New Testament, especially where apostles are writing, "Be thankful, be thankful." I'll give you two of them. First, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, where Paul writes to the church, and he writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." And be thankful. Here, Paul starts with Christ and his peace and ends with an exhortation to be thankful. I think John expressed very nicely the fact that whatever we do and whatever thanks we come before God with, for us, they are centered around Christ. They are flowing from Christ. They are more expressive because of Christ. And because with him or through him, we have slightly different reasons to be thankful, bigger reasons to be thankful, if I can put it this way. But Paul says, with Christ comes the peace in our hearts, and having Christ and his peace in our hearts, we are thankful. So when you see guys like that one in the video, must be something wrong with them in a way, but definitely, I think, thank you, Peter, towards the end, we realized that there was something really right with him because he was thankful because of the Lord, because of the love. And that was his encouragement for us. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Then we have Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, where Paul again writes, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe and so on. Here, that thankfulness starts with the knowledge and with assurance that we are at the receiving end of a kingdom. How many kingdoms? There were many kingdoms. There might be some more kingdoms. It's only one kingdom that won't be shaken. It's one kingdom that will last forever. And because we believe in Christ and because he's the king of that kingdom, we have the promise of that kingdom. Be thankful. Be thankful. Let us be thankful. Because we have that promise over that kingdom that won't be shaken. So this, again, back to the idea, generally as Christians, we are encouraged, we are exhorted to be thankful, to be thankful. Now, a little bit about the Thanksgiving service. Since we came to Seton Baptist Church, it was already on. It was same date. Many things are similar. Not much has changed, probably some of the audience and so on, but there were people bringing stuff in and making a nice display and having this wonderful, say, service of thanking God. The main purpose, as I reflected again, why we do it, not only because of tradition, but let's say the main purpose of the Harvest Thanksgiving service is, I believe, one, to provide an opportunity for us to express our appreciation and thankfulness for God's abundant provision of food. Of food. Harvest is about food. Harvest is about food. If there wouldn't be any food, I think we wouldn't have the word harvest, because harvest specifically refers to food. Now, we might use harvest in different situations, but basically, originally, specifically, it refers to food. So we are here thankful to God for the food that he provides for us in different ways. So Thanksgiving, it's about an attitude of heart. That means every time I eat, I ought to be thankful. I ought to say thank you in different ways. But I have to eat with thankfulness that God gives me the food. And basically, let's think about it. Everything that's related with food, that's the part of the second thought. Think with me as I come now. So it's an attitude about heart. There's another purpose, I think, with this Harvest Thanksgiving service. To maintain a connection with earth. I don't know where this one came from. To maintain a connection with earth. Remember, God created the earth. God blessed the earth to produce food, plants, so on and so on. Okay? Produce food for our sustenance. God also, a little bit later, cursed the earth to produce weeds. the guys that we don't like and we try to kill all the time, and somehow we can't, I don't know, because of, and that's because of our rebellion. If we weren't for our rebellion, there would be no weeds. Unfortunately, this is our curse, and we have to spend some sweat to get rid of those weeds. But I think the Harvest Thanksgiving service, it's an opportunity to maintain a connection with the earth. In what sense? In this technological age driven by technology, this age provides a false idea that food comes from the can or from the box or from the supermarket or from the warehouse. And that's what the things stop. And I believe, I might be wrong, that many young people have the idea that that's where the food comes from. Wrong. The food comes from the earth. The food that we eat comes from the earth. And maybe this is also a way of us being reminded that we are earth and we'll return to earth. We eat earth. It's a way to remind us that our sustenance comes from the earth. And maybe we ought to be, well, a little bit careful about the earth that we live in. We cannot make it better. We cannot make it last forever. That's in God's plan, but at least we can take care of it. So our food, all our food, I will say, has this journey from earth to our table. Even if you have a steak, because you know the steak only grows with grass. Okay, steak is another form of grass. So our food has a journey to end up on our table, and that journey starts in the soil, starts in the earth. And this is something to remind us that while it is packed, while it is boxed, it comes from the earth. And while, you know, boxes and cans are not God's gift, but what comes from the earth is God's gift, food for us to live. And let me remind you, Genesis chapter 11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to the various kinds, and so on and so on, later on the animals and everything else. When it comes to Thanksgiving, mankind over the years, God believers or non-God believers, Christians and non-Christians, had celebrated the harvest, because that harvest was a reminder of the food that we have, and this my last ask for next year, for another year. And so they were glad, and there were celebrations, and there were parties, and there were feasts, and there was a Thanksgiving, Harvest Thanksgiving, even in the Old Testament, when the first fruits, that they had to be brought before God with the same intention. Thank you, we have bread on our table for another year. Now, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it is imperative, it is important to express it, to express our thankfulness correctly, to express our thankfulness correctly. And what it means? It means that when it comes to Thanksgiving, we have to thank, give in the right direction. And that means God direction. We have to thank God for our food. Not Coles, not Woolworths, and not any other prices, or even the farmers. We can thank farmers for the work that they put in. But God is at the end, it ought to be at the end of our thanking. We thank Him. So our thankfulness has to have the right direction, God direction. We have to thank Him. And that's how we express our thankfulness. But secondly, I believe, we have to express our thankfulness in the right way. And this brings us a little bit towards our passage this morning. We have to express our thankfulness in the right way. Why do I say that? Because most of the, say, godless festivals and celebrations are actually pagan. Not necessarily that God is not in it, but it's a matter of starting maybe well, being joyful for the food, and then ending up with, instead of the solid food, they end up with the liquid food, too much of it, and then everything it's up, drunkenness and everything else. Okay, most of these festivals and celebrations, they end up with people being drunk, and then all sorts of tragedies can happen. We ought to celebrate. So this brings me to our passage this morning. In Lystra, it was a day like any other day until Paul and Barnabas show up. So Paul and Barnabas show up one day in Lystra, and they have a mission They have to preach the gospel. And they start preaching the gospel. As it happens, some people do hear or listen and believe. Some people don't listen and don't believe. Nevertheless, Paul continues. There is a man. He sees a man who's lame. And under Holy Spirit inspiration, Paul heals him. Paul heals the lame person. So he speaks to a crowd about the gospel. And I don't know exactly if they understood what Paul meant. They were going on with their lives as those lives were handed down to them by their ancestors, because this is how we learn how we behave from our ancestors, what has been done before. They heard about Zeus, they heard about Hermes or Jupiter. There was a temple, yes, there was a priest, there was some sacrificial ritual, and then of course a feast. So to this crowd, Paul preached the gospel. To that sort of crowd, Paul preached the gospel. But when they saw that Paul healed the lame person, the crowd got into motion. Until then, they were listening and maybe considering what's being said, but when they saw the miracle, when they saw the healing, the sign that accompanied Paul's preaching, then things started to develop quite rapidly. I found something before I go on, because I'm not looking at it from the perspective of Paul's missionary journey. I'm not looking at it from the perspective of how to present the gospel. I'm looking at it now from the perspective of what happened. And actually, I'm not going to talk too much about what happened, but what has been said. What has been said in that particular happening. So let me then put it this way. What I found in this short passage, I found a recognition of a miracle. A superhuman act. The crowds, we don't talk about their education or whatever spiritual level they were or whatever, the crowds recognized a miracle. They recognized a superhuman, if I can use the term, act that Paul performed. They recognized that it's a miracle, and that attracted and made them curious about these people. And automatically, they presumed that they are gods, because this is what they learned. This is what has been thought. That was the job of the priest in the temple, tell them that Lord Zeus is there and Hermes is here, and they often come in a human form and have some sort of interaction with people. So we have that recognition of a miracle. So we as people, we as human beings, we recognize when something is above our grade, above our pay, above our understanding, above our power. We recognize it instantly. We may accept it, we may question it, we may refuse it outrightly, but we recognize it. Keep this in mind. When I got here, I realized that today we don't hear too many of these miracles. So I'm not standing here before you saying that miracles don't happen. They do. We might not hear about them, and they might not be publicized. And those that are publicized often are not true, are false or fake, because people want some recognition, some universal global recognition of miracles. Miracles do happen. But today, the greatest miracle, I believe, for a church and for our church, the greatest miracle is the superhuman act of love. A superhuman act of love. What might attract crowds, what might make people curious today, is our love for one another. And this is actually what Jesus has said. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So today miracles do happen, but happen when we love one another. And this is, I'm not using my words now, I'm using our Lord's words. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's a miracle. Anyway, let me get back to the passage. So is this recognition of a superhuman act? What we also have here is that it's an expression of the longing that we have as human beings of a relationship with the divine. And let me use the words that are there. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their language. the gods have come down to us in human form. The gods have come down to us in human form. We are blessed. We are happy because we all long for a relationship with the divine. Why do I say that? Come with me in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 at the beginning. What was happening there? Walking in the garden. Adam and Eve had that relationship with God. They walked in the garden together. Well, God was with them, spent time with them until the day when it didn't happen anymore. And they, pardon my expression, were kicked out of the garden. From then on, I believe, even though before, there is a longing in my heart and in your heart for God, for a divine relationship with someone who is more powerful than you, with someone who is more better than you, with someone who is more kind and loving than you, with someone who can. And little did they know, these poor fellows in Lystra, little did they know the gods have come down to us in human form. They did! Because Paul was an ambassador of exactly a God who came down in a human form. They did, Christ. Christ. But see, they were happy to worship and because they were happy to see God's coming with them, and probably they expected many other miracles and so on. All right. So Paul speaks again. Because what they were ready to do, they were ready to worship. And this is something, again, with us. When we meet someone who's more powerful than us, we tend to submit, we tend to present our homage, and we tend to worship in certain cases. We do. And again, the Bible it has the records of people. Every time someone faced an angel, what happened? They just fell to the ground. Every time a human person faced an angel, something they fell to the ground because you can't stand. It's that not only the desire, but also being compelled to worship. So they wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas. They were preparing the feast. They were preparing a lunch. They were preparing whatever entailed in that sacrifice, in the ritual that they were doing when Paul jumps in the middle. Can I have your attention back, please? Simon will return. Let him go. So, again, where I was, they were prepared to worship him, Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas both jumps in the middle of what was happening there, and then he starts to speak. And that's where we got to the verse that I have, or the passage that I have presented, but the verse, and the verse is verse 17. It's about God. It's about God. Let me start. Verse 15, man, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? We too are men just like you, human like you, but we are bringing you good news, the gospel, the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things. Worthless things. See, they were ready to worship. Everything was prepared to worship, probably with a big fanfare, with a big celebration, the wrong way, in the wrong direction. Not worshiping God, but some worthless things. Man, then to turn from these worthless things to the living God. Change your worshiping direction. Worship God. Who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. And he had not let himself without testimony. He had shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in the season. He provides you with plenty of food, fills your heart with joy. So Paul, part of his gospel about Christ, because that is what he started, but it gets now to the point where he can speak to their hearts, to their way of knowing, to their desire to meet with God, to their desire to worship someone who has that power and authority. And Paul tells them, wrong way, turn back, go towards God, because... And he calls them to be witnesses. See, he calls them to be, he doesn't have to prove anything. He says to them, you are witnesses because you have experienced, you had all these things, gifts from God. You have these gifts from God. And they were crops, rain, season, food, joy, gifts from God. Harvest Thanksgiving Day. It's important as we celebrate, and not only the harvest, as we celebrate maybe a birthday, as we celebrate maybe an anniversary, as we celebrate whatever, let's have a right direction in our celebration. Let our worship, let our feast have all the right direction, a God direction towards God, because He is the one who has to be thanked. Our thanks have to be lifted up to Him. And our thanksgiving, and our celebration, they have to be made in such a way that they bring honor to Him, not bring His name into disrepute, but bring honor to Him. A decent celebration, a clean celebration, a joyful celebration, because another gift that is coming from God, if you realize, it is joy. Having the hearts filled with joy, that's a gift of God, from God. So see, in a sense, maybe once a year we have the harvest Thanksgiving service once a year, because usually the harvest occurs once a year. There are exceptions to it in different sectors, but roughly once a year. So I think it's proper, and we could keep it on just to give thanks to God, because He still blesses this earth that we live on with rain and crops and seasons and food, and we can live. So this is my call for this morning, and as we are going to the back and have lunch and enjoy the things that God has provided to us, and actually you had to put some work in, bring them to an edible condition, we will enjoy it, I can assure you. And as we celebrate, let our hearts be filled with thanks. And may I also encourage you, and I think I did this before, you might be in your car and you stop for a break and you have the sandwich. Say thanks before you munch on it. You might be at McDonald's ready to have your meal. Say thanks. You might be, in your office and say thanks. Home at the table before having the food, say thanks to God for the food that you have, because it's His gift. May you be blessed. May we be blessed and be continue blessed by God's gifts so long as He keeps us here on earth, because there in the new kingdom, if we are to live forever, God has prepared for us something special. To Him be glory and honor. Amen.